The politicians may be stymied, but science may have a solution to racist chants, if not fistfights at soccer matches. Sander van Wijngaarden has helped develop a sound system to confuse and disrupt chanting crowds. He works at the Netherlands Organization for Applied Scientific Research, and he's presenting a paper this week at a meeting of the Acoustical Society of America in Providence, Rhode Island. And he joins me now. Dr. van Wijngaarden, you actually started working on this technique after soccer hooligans chanted abuse at rival teams in the Netherlands?
Yes, more or less. Offensive chanting had been going on for a number of years, but a couple of years ago it was a bit worse than usual.
So how will your technique get them to shut up?
Well, the basic principle is very simple. If you hear echoes or delayed sounds, it's usually confusing. And our approach is basically that we record a sound from chanting, from the stands in a stadium, for instance, and we feed it back into the crowd at a certain delay.
And the reaction is the chanting stops.
Well, that's the idea, at least, and it remains to be seen how well that will work in a real live situation in a stadium.
How long is the delay for it to work?
It has to be at least 200 milliseconds, but any delay time of maybe, say, around half a second will work.
Can we try it right now? I'd like you to read something you have in front of you, and let's try it.
Okay. I have a book here, so...
I have a book here, so...
The typewritten... The typewritten seems like just a big joke. It's a bit different, this.
You did seem confused, though.
No, the difference is that there is no particular timing to this. Let's say that you're standing in a crowd and you're trying to chant together, but the person standing left to you chooses a slightly faster rhythm than you are choosing, and the person right to you is on another beat altogether. It becomes very difficult to chant synchronously together with your neighbors in the crowd. So what we are doing is we're using loudspeakers to simulate out-of-sync chanters, people who have no sense of rhythm.
Is it possible, though, that stopping soccer fans from chanting might cause them to get into trouble or cause trouble in other ways?
Yes, that's a real concern. You need to be sure that if you frustrate people by disrupting their chanting, that they're not tempted to express themselves in other ways, perhaps even more violent ways. So this is never something that can be done alone. It always has to be done along with other measures. One thing that we've been thinking of is that what you can try to do is, while you suppress an offensive chant, you try to artificially start one that's not as offensive, but it's also quite catchy. So you're sort of implanting a nice chant in the crowd while you're disrupting the offensive ones.
Dr. Sander van Wijngaarden of the Netherlands Organization for Applied Scientific Research, thank you.
You're welcome.
We go now from thundering crowds to tiptoeing thieves. James Sabatier and his colleagues at the University of Mississippi are working on ways to detect someone sneaking around in your house. He'll also be at the Acoustical Society meeting this week. But first, we thought we'd ask him about his research. Dr. Sabatier looked at different kinds of footsteps, normal and stealthy.
As you take a step, your heel touches the floor first. And the first thing that happens is the floor supports your weight. So that then impulsive force sends a signal that propagates through the floor, a vibration signal that propagates through the floor to our receiver. And that signal is low frequency. When the toe comes down, about 100 milliseconds, 150 milliseconds later, it slaps the foot floor and it stops. It's like slamming on the brakes in your car. And so when that foot slides ever so slightly, it creates another kind of signal, high frequency, broadband noise, but mostly it's in the ultrasound.
And there's a dramatic difference then in the friction noise between a normal step, a stealthy step, and a soft step?
For us, the stealthy step was to walk on tiptoes. When you do that, you don't make the sort of low-frequency signal, but the ultrasound or the friction signal is still there.
Would it be possible then to perhaps program a home alarm system of some sort that could recognize stealthy steps and warn people that someone's walking around the house stealthily?
We think this is probably one of the most important things that's come out of this work. One of the problems with home alarm systems is there are too many false alarms. They cannot distinguish a person. So if you can indeed look for this high-frequency signal associated with footsteps, you can identify a person. But I don't think that a burglar is going to tippy-toe around your house. A burglar is going to walk normal. So the important thing about finding people is to look for the low-frequency signal followed by 150 milliseconds later, this ultrasound or high-frequency signal. And so that combination of those two, I think, is unique to the footstep of a person.
I have to say I'm a little bit disappointed because I was hoping that this would help me catch my teenage daughter sneaking into the house after curfew.
Well, it might help with that, too. You might be able to do that as well.
James Sabatier of the University of Mississippi. Thank you.
You bet.
Finally, let's take a trip back in time. Dr. Phil Lieberman of Brown University will be presenting a paper at the Acoustical Society Conference on the language of Neanderthals. Neanderthals and other early hominids had very short necks, not a lot of room for windpipes and a voice box. While some researchers now believe they could speak, no one's quite sure what they might have sounded like. Dr. Lieberman joins us now. Hello.
Hi there.
How do we know that Neanderthals spoke?
Well, it's the point is the changes that occurred later in the sort of the human line are such that we have a very weird tongue. Our tongue is moved down into our neck, and this makes it possible to produce a few extra sounds. But the risk for producing these extra sounds, which are very highly useful for improving the quality of speech, makes us susceptible to choking to death on food. And there would have been absolutely no reason for these mutations to be retained, in other words, the tongue moving, migrating down into the neck, unless speech was already there.
So we know, based on the way that we're constructed now, that those who preceded us must have spoke.
Yeah, speech, I think, has very ancient roots, and I think it's tied up to a general increase in motor control and cognitive ability in humans. It's sort of a big package, and if you can see from the archaeological record of virtually all archaic hominids about, you know, going back to 100,000 years ago, that their tools are quite complex, their hunting patterns are quite complex, and there's no way you can conceive of that going on without language and speech.
And what do you think, then, these ancient peoples might have sounded like with those short necks?
Well, you can produce virtually all the sounds of speech with that kind of vocal tract. In other words, the airway formed by the tongue and the mouth, the stuff above your larynx or voice box. And they would have sounded, if I were to say something, I'll see you, they wouldn't have been able to say the vowels E or U, so it would come out, oh, se, yeah, something like that. It's not even a question of sounding funny, it's a question of not being as clear in your speech and higher confusion rates.
Dr. Phil Lieberman, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I'm pleased to have been able to talk to you.
And since I can produce the sound E, I'll say that next week, Debbie Elliott will return. Petra Mayer directs, Martha Wexler edits, and Walter Ray Watson produces the program with Tina Tennyson, Kate Davidson, Melinda Ware, Alice Winkler, Tracy Wall, and Veronica Marche Miller. Our technical director is Neil Ellis. We also had help from audio engineers Peter Alina and Ted Mebane. Key Molesky is our reference librarian. That's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Howard Berkus.